Across the line on Tip FM with Thurles Credit Union, offering a comprehensive suite of loans at exceptionally keen rates. Apply today at thurlescu.ie.
And you're welcome along to another edition of Across the Line with me, Shane Brophy, your Friday evening build-up to the sporting weekend in the Premier County. And this week's show, we begin by looking ahead to Drumminch's Munster Club Senior Camogie Final tomorrow afternoon with manager Pat Ryan and Geraldine Kinnan. We'll hear from Tipperary Senior Hurling Manager Colin Bonner on his National League panel, which was announced during the week. We'll also talk with new Munster Council Chairperson Ger Ryan on his election last weekend. And we will also talk horse racing, where on Sunday, Thurles hosts a noteworthy race meeting with a number of Cheltenham hopes on display. And as ever, we'll finish by talking dogs with Barry Drake. So all that and more over the next 55 minutes or so. So why not stay tuned? And I suppose on this, historic evening with restrictions as we speak, the Taoiseach is announcing restrictions coming to an end tomorrow. I suppose it gives us all a bit of encouragement for the weeks and months ahead, so hopefully everything runs smoothly. And we will start by this week's show by looking ahead to Camogie, where tomorrow in Mallow at 3 o'clock, the 2021 Munster Club Senior Camogie Final takes place between Drumminch, who put the recently won Munster title on the line, against 2019 champion Scariff O'Gonnell in an eagerly anticipated final. And to look ahead to it, I'm firstly joined by Drumminch manager Pat Ryan and momentarily by Tip PRO Geraldine Kinnan. Pat, first of all, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shane.
Good to have you along, Pat. Pat, you only won the Munster title at the end of November. You're putting it back up for defence again tomorrow. So I suppose first and foremost, in terms of preparation, how have things gone?
Preparation's gone very well for the last 2 weeks. We look, the semi final was a dogfight. No one can take away from that. The conditions were poor, and we dug it out. Hopefully tomorrow, I think the going should be a small bit firmer. And look, we've adjusted along with the conditions for the last 2 weeks, and the girls have really put in super effort. We've trained very well.
Mm-hmm. And I was just, did you learn anything different about, I suppose, yourselves in from that game against Newcastle West, going back to the previous All Ireland semi final, in terms of areas you were hoping that to find that extra little bit from, I suppose, potentially going on maybe to defend your Munster title and into another All Ireland series?
We did. Look, I suppose we had to kind of go to the well again and find some confidence to get back up to it. I know we hadn't much time to get over the fact that we were after being beaten in an All Ireland semi final. It could take a while. Normally, it would take a while to get over, but we were going straight back into it in preparation for this year, for the 2021 Munster series. And I suppose, look, in one way, it helped in the fact that we hadn't time to dwell on what had gone wrong with the Sarsfields, but we still recognised what went wrong with the Sarsfields, and we addressed it. And look, as I said, we had a stern test against Newcastle West in the Munster semi-final. We are back to the wall for the second half. Look, we roll our luck. There's no denying that. They had four wides there with the win that normally that you should be taking and put us to the pin of our collar. But look, the determination of those girls to get that game over the line was it's all positive heading into this Munster final. We've addressed different things that I suppose let us down on the day. We've worked on that. Matthew McGrath has really put them through their paces for the last 2 weeks. And look, we've come up with a different, I suppose, plan to suit our game, and hope to adjust again to the ground conditions that will be that bit firmer. So hopefully we have those things ironed out.
Yeah, it's incredible that the weather conditions at the moment, I suppose, for it, you'd expect for something different. But like, it's a Munster final. It's a game the girls will always be motivated for. But I suppose there's probably an extra edge that it's up against Scariff, and the fact that they denied Drum in the 2019 Munster Championship to Scariff O'Gonnell. So like, there's probably a score to settle maybe with some of the girls, and particularly on the Drum side on tomorrow afternoon.
Absolutely. Just, you know, when they defeated Inniscarra to get to the final, of course, I suppose it took the pressure off myself in the fact that the motivation would have been right there straight away. To, I won't say right or wrong, but there's unfinished business there from 2019. The fact that I suppose we didn't play to our potential on that day. But look, no excuses. The better team won, the better team actually won. We didn't do ourselves justice. This is a chance, right? We have the 2019 the 2019 champions and 2020 champions coming together, I suppose it's an ideal scenario that the two see out of the third game, winner take all, I suppose, in the fact that you're putting yourselves up against the two best teams in Munster for the last 2 years, and hopefully we come out on top.
Yeah, and I suppose the two sides would be familiar enough, as you say, it's only 3 years ago now when that game was played. But then you have the strong Tipperary element within the Scariff management. I suppose David Sullivan, a former Silver Mines manager, so like he will know a lot about the Drum and Inch girls. He'll have a fair idea of who he's coming up against.
He really have an idea of what he's coming up against. But look, that's the way you have to do it. We're coming in as Munster champions, I suppose. They've looked at us to see where the areas they can hit us. And we've seen a few of their games as well. So look, it's hit for tat. That way we can find weaknesses in their game. They probably find weaknesses in mine. But look, we're just looking forward to the battle. We know it's going to be a battle tomorrow, and we're just raring to go, to be honest.
We'll have live updates from that game tomorrow. But Pat, we wish you and the team the best of luck, and hopefully you're celebrating a second Munster title in the space of 2 months.
Appreciate that. Look, and I hope all the people out there get behind us. And I know it's a long way down to Mallow, but we'd appreciate any of the support we can get, and hopefully they'll be there to back us, Shane. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
I'm sure they will. Thanks very much, Pat Ryan, manager of Drum and Inch, senior camogie team, and I'm also joined on the line by Drum and Inch, former Drum and Inch player, and County PRO, Geraldine Canan. Geraldine, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shane.
Good to have you along, Geraldine. I suppose, first of all, in terms of Drum and Inch, and I suppose from your perspective, in terms of the challenge Scariff or Ganlow are going to present tomorrow, what are your thoughts on the game itself?
Yeah, I think it's going to be another huge battle for Drum and Inch. You know, they haven't won any games in Munster easily in the last few years, and obviously Scariff beat them in the 2019 final. And, you know, I think both teams are probably similar going into it, maybe a few positional changes and stuff, but you know, there isn't a whole lot of change from either team from the time when they met before, and I'd be thinking it's going to be a close game again. Drum are going into it obviously after a good win against Newcastle West, and they're going into it after a good win over Inishgara, so you know, both teams will be confident and know that there's a huge battle on their hands, but know that there's a great chance of a Munster title there at stake.
Yeah, and I say it was noteworthy, I suppose, that Scariff went down to Inniscarra and won down there. Like, we all know how strong the Cork Club Championship is, so like that was a fair scalp in itself.
Yeah, definitely, and obviously a huge boost to them. You know, everyone likes to, after winning the county final, you don't want to turn around and lose your first game, the first time you go out again, you know, so... you know, winning the first game in Munster is obviously a huge lift, and then you're only 60 minutes away from silverware, and you want to stay going. You know, I think the both teams are probably similar. They're strong up the middle, and you know, neither team, I suppose, maybe has that marquee star forward that everyone's talking about that needs to be double or triple marked. But they have very balanced team. I think Drum and Scariff are both very balanced, and you know, all have key players throughout the team, and kind of huge work rate and huge attitude is really positive, and it's kind of, I would see the both teams quite similar, and I just think, you know, maybe when you know the both teams will hit their purple patch tomorrow, and obviously whichever team converts the most of their chances, then I think we'll come out on top.
And I suppose we have you on with your other cap as Camogie PRO, another busy weekend on the schools and the club front. We might just stick with the club front. There's two minor finals this weekend.
Yeah, so on Sunday then there's two 2021, I suppose, minor county finals that I suppose got delayed and so forth. So there's the minor C final is on in Pocan at 11 o'clock on Sunday, and that's between Newport and Kilruan McDonough, so that's on at 11 o'clock in Pocan. And then in the minor B is the Shield final between Drum and Inch and Care. That's happening in Care at 11:30. So two bits of silverware up for grabs on Sunday, and I suppose all four clubs involved, I suppose, waiting for this chance, you know, of a final since before Christmas. And I expect two good games there. You know, there's plenty of talent in the Newport Ballinhinch and Kilruan team, likes of Abby Lenehan and Nadine Stokes, the captain there for Newport, while Kilruan have the likes of Emma Williams, Molly Kendi, and you know, I think that's going to be a tight game. Then the B Shield final, Care have a county panellist, Niamh Costigan, on the team, and while Drum have lots of girls that are in training with the seniors at present, and likes Casey O'Dwyer and Caroline Shanahan, came on a sub there against Newcastle West. So two strong teams competing there in the minor B Shield final as well.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose, speaking of another Munster final, there's another big one tomorrow in Mahon, I suppose the Cork Camogie grounds, 12 o'clock tomorrow, the Munster Senior A College's final, Cashel Community School against Coachford College. Cashel, very, very strong. Like, you're pulling players out of Cashel, out of Anacarty, out of Kickhams, like, where the I suppose the West Tipperary really seems to have got has the strength at underage Camogie at the moment, and Cashel should benefit off this.
Yeah, definitely. You see the minor panel announced there during the week, and then you look at the Cashel panel and you see a lot of overlapping likes of Lily and Anna Fahey, their twins there from Cashel, and likes Grace Maloney. All on that Cashel school team and on the Tip Minor panel this year, and all playing with Cashel senior Camogie team this year. Then next to Leah Kavanagh, Emma Horgan, Lisa O'Connor, all with Boherland there, and key players on that Cashel community school. So it's a very strong Cashel community school. It's no surprise to see them in the Munster final, albeit they had a tough semi-final against Ursuline Charles. And look, it'd be great for Camogie and Tipperary, for the clubs in Tipperary, and obviously for Cashel Community School if they can beat Coachford College. I don't know too much about Coachford, but there's no weak Camogie teams coming out of Cork, and I'm sure they're a very quality side as well if they got to a Senior A final. But it would be great if Cashel could win that, and that's at 12 o'clock in Mahon, and I'm sure there's going to be huge following from all the families and the clubs there to support down to that.
Absolutely. Another Munster final tomorrow in Junior B Camogie presentation, Thurles against Clochtober Ennis in Littleton at 2:30. And I suppose commiserations to St Mary's of Nina, who lost the Munster Senior B final last night. They lost to Clamoche Mura of Ennis by 2 points. Geraldine Canan, a busy weekend as ever in Camogie, I suppose, at this time of the year especially. Thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks, Shane. Thank you.
Geraldine Canan are looking ahead to a busy weekend of Camogie and the club, schools and school scene. And in terms of ladies football, we want to send our best wishes to Mullinahone, who take on St Brendan's of Galway in the All-Ireland Junior Club Championship semi-final. That game is in Callan on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and we will have live updates on that game here on Tip FM throughout our coverage of the racing from Thurles. Time for our first break, and we'll be back with Tipperary Senior Hurling Manager Colin Bonner. And you're welcome back to the show. And we turn our attention to hurling, where there has been a busy week for Tipperary, both on and off the field, with sponsorship announcements in terms of Semple Stadium with FBD Insurance, and then today the 2-year sponsorship deal of the short sponsorship deal with a financial services company, Fiserv. However, the big one was the announcement of the Tipperary Senior Hurling Panel for the National League, which gets underway now in just over 2 weeks' time. And to discuss the makeup of it, I'm joined by Tipperary manager Colin Bonner. Colin, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shane.
Colin, a 34-man panel. I know you whittled it down from 47. I suppose in terms of modern squads, 34 is I suppose tight enough. But was that a deliberate play to have a shrunk down but a tighter panel?
Yeah, I suppose we've done a lot of work over the last kind of 6 weeks, moving from the Miller Shield on to bringing players in and trialing them out, and with and I suppose we needed to kind of move forward. The National League is only 2 weeks away, so it's coming fairly quickly. So we needed to kind of refocus then, and the players that showed potential, and obviously the more experienced lads that are coming back in. And we got to a number of 34, and we were very happy with that. But yeah, look, we also have a development squad, and we have the availability of maybe a couple of players coming in if needed, and to help them with their development over the next year. So yeah, I think we're in a good place now going forward.
Yeah, I suppose of those maybe 13 players that haven't been retained, like, will most of them be on that development squad?
Yeah, and as it's a case of trying to support them in their strength and condition and their nutrition. And a good few of these players had injuries and didn't really get an opportunity to show us what they had. But, these are all lads that are 20, 21, 22, and they could be future stars for Tipperary. And it's important that we try and help them in their progress in terms of their athletic development, because the way the game has gone now, and anybody that was in Carrick Swan Grounds, the big hits that are going in, like, it's unless you have your strength and conditioning done, a lot of these tackles, players wouldn't get up from.
Yeah, and I suppose I might touch on that Wexford game from last week in a moment, but in terms of that extended squad and I suppose keeping those maybe guys motivated and I suppose keeping them focused, I suppose it was something that the Munster Council or CEO Kieran Leddy mentioned in his report last week of maybe the possibility of maybe a reserve sort of a league maybe for under-23s or something, or maybe guys that are on the fringes of panels that they gives them something, some games to look forward to rather than maybe hoping maybe to get called into a panel at a later stage and maybe in the year.
Yeah, look, there's great merit in that, and even as it is, we have Dublin County Board, they have a development squad of 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds that, you know, they need a small bit more investment in terms of their strength and condition and that development that's needed to go into an inter-county senior setup, and they're looking to see, you know, to play games against similar counties. So that's the way it's going, and that's the future of the game, because, you know, there is a turnover every year, regardless of what team it is, and you do need younger lads coming through, and it's not a case now, especially the level of condition that players are in. You know, you couldn't throw a young player of 2021 in there without having done this conditioning, because, as I said, some of the tackles that went in there last week, I don't know how players got back up. And then when I think back of the strength and condition and all the work they're doing, that's how they're able to absorb these tackles, get up and move on.
Mm-hmm. Just in terms of the panel you selected, I suppose the notable name that wasn't there is John O'Dwyer. Is he part of your plans, or is he injured, or what's John's situation at the moment?
Yeah, John, who wouldn't like to have John on their panel? I've been talking to John since December, and he's having trouble with his knee, and we got a scan, and it just has developed. He tried the knee again out in early January in a challenge match, and it was a lot worse than he thought, so we're kind of back to square one where we need to work on it again and get to the what's causing the issue, what's causing the pain. So yeah, look, there's no one ever ruled out, and someone that has the skill level that bubbles and the experience that he has, obviously it's you know, we'd be foolish to rule any player of that calibre out.
Yeah, is there anybody else in terms of in a similar situation to John where they can't partake in the league that could be back for the championship?
Not really, no. The only other player that we've picked that's coming in is Paddy Maher, and we had he's kind of on a 2-week just rehab just to get himself ready before he goes back into the thick of it. But no, everyone else, they're up and running, and as I said, you know, it's great for us to see the quality that's in there, and you know, from the younger lads to the more experienced lads, just what they're actually giving to us on the field, it's jaw dropping, really.
Yeah, and just speaking of Paddy, I suppose it's in terms of the list that was sent out on Tuesday, they were sort of named by position, and Paddy Porrick was named in the forwards. Is that something you might be looking at, or is it just me reading something that's not there?
Yeah, no, that's just reading it. It might be something that slipped us, but no, Paddy. Paddy's one of the finest backs of his generation.
That's fair.
I hope he didn't get a surprise neither.
No, better. No, I suppose returning back to Wexford last weekend as a game, I wasn't that, but from a few people I was talking to, the work rate among the forwards and I suppose the turnovers they force in a defensive sense was something that really stuck out to them. I suppose is that going to be a basic staple of a Colin Bonner team going forward?
Yeah, well, you know, at the level we're playing, everybody can play the game and play it so well, but it's that energy and that work rate and that commitment to each other and that team, in terms of, like, you see the Premiership managers and they talk about teams pressing up and the high press and whatever, and it causes, and the teams that are doing it, the likes of your Liverpools and these are the teams that are successful. But, you know, and sport, when you put any player under pressure, mistakes will happen, and you know, it's hugely important that, I suppose we learned that from the Kerry game. We went down with a very inexperienced team, and you know, 8 or 9 players putting on the tip jersey for the first time, and you know, Kerry kind of brought a physicality and intensity of the tackling, and really didn't give our boys a chance to kind of settle on anything, and but they learned very, very, very quickly, and you know, and they took those learnings on board, and the following week, you know, we had similar players playing again. And it was just a whole different, you know, different attitude in terms of what we're trying to do. But yeah, look, really, it has to be a foundation. That work rate and that energy and that ability to tackle has to be huge, because, as you said, from the turnovers, we had 24 turnovers from forward line and midfield. And I think we scored 117 off that. So it just shows how important tackling is the day of bringing in a nice forward who can, you know, can show his skills, that, you know, that day is kind of gone now. With the likes of your Limerick and your Waterford approach, that you need to be defensive and you need to be able to attack all within the space of a second.
Yeah, and I suppose we're tomorrow 2 weeks at the start of the National League away to Laois. It's just so close to the Championship at Easter Sunday. In terms of, I suppose, balance and maybe the requirement maybe to give players maybe blood them, but also try and bed down a team that you feel and maybe get guys in certain positions that you feel will be somewhere close to your starting team for Easter Sunday down in Waterford. What's your plan of attack in terms of that at the moment?
Yeah, well, different players at this stage, and it's, you know, they're at different stages of fitness levels, and we've had a good core group of players that have been training very hard for the last 5 or 6 weeks, and you can see them pushing on and putting their hand up and trying to get into a position where they can take a jersey for the National League, and then we've older players that might have, I won't say older players, but players that deserve the rest and are coming back more slowly. So, as I said, as these players are coming back in, you can just see the quality and the intensity, everything wrapping up another notch or two. And from the 34 players I picked, I'm kind of thinking, it's going to be so hard to pick that first 15 and then to tell another 8 or 9 players that they're on the bench, and then to tell another 8 players that they're not on the 26. Like, it's, every player that I've mentioned on that 34, everybody had the capability of playing for Tipperary, putting on that jersey and playing to a very, very high level. And that's the job of the management team. We have to see what players are on form. And, at the moment, we're 2 weeks out from the National League, and as I said, more and more players are coming back in. It's caused a more headache for us, but that's what we want. The intensity of the training sessions inside for the last couple of sessions has just been enormous, and everybody wants to play for Tip, and that's the way it should be. So everybody's challenging each other, and I'm really looking forward to getting that first 15 out against Laois next Saturday week.
Yeah, I suppose just finally, I know you were at the launch in Semple Stadium today of the Fiserv sponsorship along with David Power, Connor Sweeney and John McGrath. I know some people were wondering, was that a sort of a tip-off that John maybe was going to be captain, but you haven't made a final call on that yet?
No, it was the county board would have invited people in for these press releases. The same, Paddy Maher would have went for the SBD launch, and Barry would have been down for the co-op Munster League launch. So I would say it was a case where John was available and he was able to come in. But yeah, John is a top class player, and he's coming in with us next week. And you know, anyone from Lochmore will know the run that they had in terms of 19 games on the trot. Like, so, their break is well deserved. But I know when these players come back, they're going to give us absolutely everything and give us a real headache in terms of who makes that starting 15. But yeah, we need to put a small bit of time. Our priority was trying to get that 34 players nailed down and to try and get get them ready for this game coming up against Laois. And I suppose over the next 2 weeks we'll have to bang our heads together to see who we can select as captain.
Absolutely. I think I'd like to thank you for your time, I suppose, in terms of providing the information not only to myself but and the listeners, but to the Tipperary supporters all over the county and all over the world. So Colin Bonner, we'll probably speak to you before the start of the National League in 2 weeks' time. Thanks for joining us.
Looking forward to it, Jack. Thank you.
Tipperary senior hurling manager Colin Bonner, I suppose, giving his thoughts on the new Tipperary panel, and I suppose encouraging news that John O'Dwyer is injured at the moment, and hopefully if he can sort out that knee problem he has, he will be back for the Championship. The Tipperary senior football panel was also announced earlier this week, a 32 player selection, and we won't have time to go through it on tonight's show, but we will have a decent in-depth look next Friday night when we will be previewing the start of the National League, which is just 9 days' time. Sunday week, Tipperary travel to Waterford, and we'll have a comprehensive preview of that national of the football squad and the National League on next Friday's show. And don't forget, tomorrow in Nenagh, the Hearty Cup semi final between Turles CBS and Ard Scolaresh. We wish the very best to Turles. That game is at 1 o'clock here in Nenagh, and we will have live updates here on Tip FM. Time for another break, and we'll be back to talk to new Munster Council chairperson. Geraint. And you're very welcome back to Across the Line. And now we stay with Gaelic Games, where last Saturday in Thurles, Temple Derry Kenyans club manager Ryan was elected chairperson of the Munster Council, the latest Tipperary man to have that prestigious honour. And I am joined on the line by Ger Ryan. Ger, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Shane.
Good to have you along, Ger. I suppose, Ger, there's different ways to serve the GAA. A lot of people, the majority of people play. Many want to be volunteers behind the scenes, and some go down the officer route. And I get the sense that, I suppose, officialdom has been something that you've enjoyed down through the years.
Yeah, well, I suppose I've been very fortunate, Shane, in the positions I've held. They've all been enjoyable, and I've always been part of good teams and worked with lots of good people. So it's been a very enjoyable experience for me. I've learned lots doing it, and I suppose I've been given opportunities to make a contribution. Mm-hmm. And but that has been very much a part of the team over the years.
Yeah, I know. I suppose you've gone a slightly, I suppose, different route maybe to many previous Munster chairmen who were previously county board chairman. You were, were PRO within the county, but you've progressed to be Munster PRO and then Munster vice chairman. So, has progressing up the ladder, has it always been something that you were interested in?
No, I don't think you can set out plans in terms of progressing up the ladder as you describe it. I think when there's opportunity to fill roles and you're deemed for whatever reason to be in the right place and maybe the right person for the job, then you take on that opportunity. So it's not part of any grand plan or anything like that. When I finished as County PRO, there was a vacancy for Munster PRO, and I was nominated for that and took on that role. And then I suppose there's the choice of continue in Munster, and I stayed there as a delegate from Tipperary. I was elected by the clubs to do that, and then stood for the vice chair and was successful there. So it was a question of really enjoying my time in Munster to start with and seeing that maybe I could make a further contribution there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know whether to look at it now, whether it's a good time to be coming in as Munster chairman or a difficult time as we're coming to the end of the pandemic. I suppose in terms of, I suppose excitement is probably getting crowds back to games in a proper way this year. And I suppose from a point of view of the Munster Council in terms of what you can do in terms of funding facilities, supporting counties, I suppose getting bums on seats and feet on terraces is a must for you at this stage.
Yeah, well, firstly, I'd say it's a great honour to become chairman of the Munster Council, and it's a great privilege, and I feel very fortunate. And I feel very grateful to the counties of the province for giving me this opportunity and placing their trust in me. So in that sense, I think it's always a good time to be the incoming chairperson of the council. And I think right now is a good time as well, because we've had a period of reflection. It has certainly been a very challenging time. I said that at convention. My predecessor, Liam Lenehan, gave very steady and assured leadership of the council in a very difficult period, when things that nobody ever expected to happen happened, like nobody going to Munster Championship games, our source of funds all be taken away, and various other related matters. So I think now is an opportune time. It's great to hear the announcements this evening in relation to restrictions being lifted. And I think we have an opportunity to go back, if you like, to a new normal, where things will be maybe similar to what we had before, but there will be important differences. We've all learned loads out of the pandemic. So it's a time for us to reflect on our role, how we support the counties and clubs of the province, and see are there improvements we can make based on what we learned during the pandemic period.
Yeah, and I suppose one of those is probably is the live streaming of games. And I suppose previously, maybe before the pandemic, there was always a fear if there was too much on the telly, would it stop people from I suppose going to the matches and I suppose parting with their money that way. But I think there's a sense that now with streaming and the popularity of it, that the I suppose a balance can be struck where by having one over the other, you're not going to lose out either way.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that it's important we retain streaming. I think it's broadened our audience overall. I think it's allowed people who, for various reasons, wouldn't be able to go to games even in normal times. Maybe their health prevents them. Maybe geography prevents them. They're abroad or so on. So I think we can increase our overall audience, give a lot of pleasure to people. At the end of the day, our games are about giving pleasure and enjoyment to people, both those who play and those who watch. And I think streaming is a real opportunity for us now to broaden our support base and broaden our audience and give people a chance to enjoy our games live, wherever they are in the world or whatever their circumstances are.
Yeah, no, so I think the Munster Council particularly deserve huge credit, particularly for, I suppose, this month alone, for the amount of pre-season games and Hearty Cup games and Kearney Murray games that have been put on. It's a tremendous service put forward for spectators.
Yeah, well, we've got a great reaction to it, and I think the schools games in particular, because they're generally on at times when people maybe can't get to them, but they might be able to take a late lunch or get a bit of time off work to watch a game streamed. And I think that's very important, and it's really important that we support our schools. They've struggled during this period, and it's great to see those games back and great to give people the opportunity to watch them.
Yeah, and I suppose from being at games and also through income generated from live streaming, I suppose it all goes into the central pot. And I suppose I think the Munster Council are the only province of the four that gives back, is the development grants to clubs and counties. Am I correct? I don't think Leinster or Connacht do it.
Yeah, not in the format that we do it. Like, definitely, they obviously do provide support back.
Yeah.
But nobody in the manner we do it in or used to it. We haven't done it for the last 2 years. But I'm hopeful we'll be able to do it again this year. Traditionally, we would have given about $1 million a year. Half of that would have come from Croke Park funds and half from our own back to the clubs of the province to support development initiatives. You know, and that has helped clubs build lots of good facilities. Also, enhance their community involvement through the building of walking tracks and so on. So I think those grants are much appreciated by clubs, and certainly we are going to focus on the clubs who did work during the pandemic and not exclude them. We will cover people who would have missed out when we do return to the grants again.
Yeah, and I suppose, would it be possible to do that potentially at the same time? I know reading Kieran Leddy's report, the Munster CEO last week, I suppose getting Walsh Park in terms of getting that up to standard. I know Clare have issues in terms of finishing their centre of excellence.
Yeah.
And we saw this month and the benefit of the all-weather and dome up in Ballyhaunis for Connacht GAA, I suppose that long-term that could be something for Munster Council would consider.
Well, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to look at our long-term planning and development requirements, both at club and at county level, and see what types of facilities we need. Like, there's increasing demand for floodlights. You've mentioned all-weather type pitches, the dome in Connacht. So there are lots of options there. Obviously, economics and money restrict what you can do, but that's something we're going to have a very close look at. And ultimately, it's about prioritising decisions in relation to funding. But I think it is fair to say, you know, Walsh Park is certainly a priority, and we have supported development of county grounds throughout the province over the years, and we will certainly support Walsh Park as well.
Yeah, it is something that maybe that in time Semple Stadium could get, because I know it did get a substantial boost this week with a naming rights sponsorship with FPD, but we know it has become a bit of a, I wouldn't say a millstone around the county board's neck, but it hasn't been able to wash its face as good as it used to maybe up till very, very recently.
Yeah, well, I think there's a broader issue here around all of the premises and facilities that we own. We're very good at building them, but then how do we maintain them? And stadia, particularly older stadia, like Semple Stadium, do require a lot of financial support in order to stand still, really. And we're certainly committed to playing a part in ensuring that these stadia are properly funded and can be maintained. And we'll sit down and work with the relevant counties in relation to that. And I'm confident that we can come up with a model that works there. So much of it revolves around being able to play games and the income you generate for that. But we also need to look, and I very much welcome what Semple Stadium have done with FPD, because I think that generates income that previously wouldn't have been there, and that very much reduces the maintenance burden. So I think it's about us all working together to see, you know, what's the overall funding requirement to maintain our stadia, and see what's the best way of doing that.
Yeah, no, there's a number of things I could speak to you about, but finally, I think the Finnan area, I think is we're heading towards, I suppose, worrying levels. I suppose is refereeing numbers. I suppose we can't play games without referees, and I suppose we're hearing more and more stories in many counties of games unable to be played because they can't source referees. And I suppose I personally think this is going to become a major problem unless, I suppose, somebody comes up with the golden bullet of how you make it more appealing to people.
Yeah, but that's very true. I think the fundamental challenge is how you get more people refereeing. But again, you know, as a province, we have an obligation to work both with the national bodies in relation to refereeing and with the counties to try and increase that supply. As you say, there's no silver bullet to this, but we have to go out and work at ground level and get people in refereeing. I think it's also fair to say that we have quite a lot of good young referees in the province, and we're very committed to developing those and giving them opportunity. And if people, you know, see new referees emerging, and you know, that may become attractive to a group of people out there. So I think we have to focus on the referees we have. We have to focus on getting new referees from clubs and within counties, and have a clear development path there. And I suppose have greater connection with referees as well. I think at times we tend to put referees out there in a separate silo, and I think we need to integrate them better with the rest of the organisation in terms of development and feedback and support. And hopefully we can come up with some plans to make it more attractive to people. And I think a key part of that is starting at juvenile level and showing the importance of showing respect for referees and recognising that they do play a really important part, and showing them some better regard than does happen. I know most of it is unintentional, but we need to stand back and look at how all of us behave in relation to referees.
Mm-hmm. I suppose I'll wrap up by saying I wish you the very best in your 3 years in charge, and hopefully you'll be presenting lots of silverware to Tipperary captains over the next 3 years. New Munster Council Chairperson, Joe Ryan, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Joe Ryan there, looking ahead to his next 3 years as chairperson of the Munster GAA Council. Time for a final break, and we'll be back in the final part of the show with horse racing and greyhound racing. And welcome back to the final part of Across the Line. And we, in terms of rugby this weekend, on the local front in Division 2A of the All-Ireland League, Cashel looked to make it 7 wins on the spin when they travelled to Musgrave Park to take on Dolphin. That's at 3 o'clock tomorrow, while at 2:30 in Rossbrien, it's Nina Ormond looked to build on their bonus point win over Dolphin when they take on Old Crescent. That game is at 2:30, and we'll have live updates here tomorrow from both games here on Tip FM. In Division 2C, Clonmel hosts Tullamore. And in terms of Munster, they take on Wasps on Sunday at 3:15 in Thomond Park. Ben Healy of Killarwan and Cashel's Dermot Barron are both named in the starting line. And coming just breaking news from Munster Rugby, with the restrictions being lifted, the capacity for the match on Sunday will be increased from 5,000 to 16,000, and priority will be given to season ticket holders. So anybody who hadn't a ticket for the game on Sunday in Thomond Park may be in a position to get one, because the capacity will be increased from 5,000 to 16,000. In local soccer, there's no action this weekend in the TSNDL, but the action does resume in North Tipperary, where the big game this weekend is the Nora Kennedy Cup final on Sunday at 11:15 in Moneygall. It's Holy Cross against Sally Park. And in the Premier League, it's champions Killavilla make the short trip to Ballymackey. And in the Limerick League, Premier League, it's Nina FC are away to Prospect Priory at 11 o'clock on Sunday. And turning your attention to horse racing, Sunday also sees the latest race meeting at Turles, and I suppose at this time of the year more than one eye is on Cheltenham, and there's definitely one race that's going to have a lot of eagle eyes both at home and across the water. And to look ahead to the meeting, I'm joined by Anne-Marie Cullen of Turles Racecourse. Anne-Marie, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks, Mel.
Good to have you along, Anne-Marie. I suppose this time last year we got a lot of Cheltenham hints that ended up, working out. And I'm sure it's for, Turles has benefited off the back of that, where there's a number of, big names heading your way on Sunday.
That's it. I suppose, Shane, of late it's been really known as a kind of a Cheltenham trial. You know, horses that handle Turles can seem to perform well in Cheltenham after. Like you mentioned, last year we got a few clues from Thurles. Cool Reavy won our Mayor's Chase for Willie Mullins and went on to win the Mayor's Chase in Cheltenham. And you know yourself, Alaho won here and went on to win the Ryanair. Alaho lines up again tomorrow or Sunday in the Horse and Jockey Hotel Grade 2 Chase, which is, even though there's only 4 runners, it's packed with cast. You know, we're pure delighted now with the calibre of horse that's turning up.
Yeah, as I say, there's only 4 runners, but there are 4 high-class runners. You have Alaho, Fakir Dodariz, Battle Over Diana, Notebook, so...
That's it. Between, you know, I was looking at it, between the 4 of them, they've won a total of 25 races between bumpers and all the way up to Grade 1, so... It's a serious race, and I suppose we're all about Alaho, but Fakir Dodariz as well is some horse in his own right. You know, finished behind Alaho on both occasions when they met, but the deficit wasn't as big in the John Durkin. You know, when they met the last time in the John Durkin. So I suppose Battle Over Dying as well was second in the Grade 1 in Leopardstown. You know, his best days might be behind him, but, you know, in a small race, in a small field, you never know what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose Notebook as well was well beaten by Energy Mean in Cork in early December, but Henry's weren't exactly firing back then, so, you know, you could nearly put a line through that. And I suppose between Fakhar Dudarat and Notebook, they've reversed the placings on each other twice in the past, so it is hard to split them.
Mm-hmm. You have a seven race card getting underway at 1 o'clock, and I suppose it's great that Tip FM will be live with you on Sunday for a number of the races. I suppose in terms of what's picking your fancy in terms of the other races apart from the Horse and Jockey Hotel Steeplechase, which is the marquee race in the card.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose the first of our feature races, well, the Mayor's Chase, like, that's a fabulous race. It's 50,000 euro worth race. It's the fourth race.
Mm-hmm.
There's seven runners, and again, packed to quality. Possibly Manila Melody of Henry de Bromley's a Guaf favourite. On her hurdle race in Raiden alone, she's raced in the mid-140s. It's her first run over fences on a racetrack, but she previously won her point-to-point for John Nallan from Clonmel. And look, coming from Henry, she's going to be well schooled, so that, you know, that's not a problem. But the one that I actually fancy in this is a horse called... She's a mare called Ballyshannon Rose from Paul Fahey, you know, small enough trainer up in Kildare, ridden by Jack Kennedy. She's a course and distance winner here over fences on her second last run, and she looked very, very impressive the same day. So she's the one for me now that's my fancy in that race. She won't be favourite, but I think she'll be bang there.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, just in terms of, I suppose, the announcement of restrictions being lifted tomorrow, I don't know what capacity you were catering for, can ye take an increased capacity now at short notice, or your plans for Sunday?
Shane, we were fine in that because it was mostly outdoor, we had facilities outdoor, you know, we were able to have the marquees open. And we closed the bar, we'll say, for Christmas, and had it literally just a takeaway bar only. And I suppose the pain for us was having to check the COVID cert and take the names and numbers for contact tracing, but that's all gone now. So, look, it does. It's less of a headache. But to be honest, we were so lucky throughout the pandemic. We lost nothing. We were able to keep racing, albeit behind closed doors. But, you know, I'm so happy for all the local, you know, the local hostileries and everywhere that can open back and breathe a sigh of relief that, please God, it's coming to an end.
Yeah. And just in terms of people who are maybe now making up their mind maybe to go racing on Sunday, they can arrive on the gate, or do they have to buy tickets in advance? Or
yeah, no, they can arrive on the gate. Look, it's handier for everybody. If they are managed to buy them online, that's fine, but we won't be turning anybody away, you know. And children under 16 are free and they're more than welcome. We'd love to see... Look, it's going to be a dry day, please God, and we'd love to attract as many locals as possible and anybody from around. Even if people are coming by train, we have a complimentary bus coming from the train station up to the race course as well. And it'll be a great day out. We'll have a barbecue. Tip FM are going to be there all day, which will be add a little bit of fun for the day as well. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Please God,
promise
now we get a great crowd.
Promise
and the racing, of course, is as good as you get anywhere. And we have ITV are covering the race as well, the big race. So look, it should be a great day out.
Absolutely, it's going to be a fascinating, a brilliant meeting as ever this Sunday in Thurles, first race off at 1 o'clock. Anne-Marie Cullen, thanks for joining us Across the Line.
Thanks, William Shane.
And before, as ever, on a Friday evening, it's time to talk dogs.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
And I'm joined on the line by Barry Drake. Barry, welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to be on again, Shane. Thanks.
Good time along, Barry. You're just slightly later getting to you than usual, but I suppose in terms of, I suppose we know the restrictions now are being lifted, and I suppose I don't know whether it'll be too soon maybe to change the start times for maybe the weekend's races, but I suppose to get dog racing back to its usual slot over the next couple of days will be, I suppose, welcomed by everybody in the industry.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Shane. Look, great news. I think everyone, you know, was glued to the news earlier this evening, listening to Taoiseach Micheál Martin giving his speech, you know. So look, we'll be looking forward. I would imagine it'll be from next week on that normal service will resume. So look, that's great news. Obviously, action is well underway below at the local Carmel Greyhound track. tonight, or this evening, I should say, and one of the standout performers already was Coolavenny boxer for Tipperary trainer Michael O'Donovan, who looks to have plenty of leading chances throughout the weekend at the various tracks. And he impressed last week, and once again he confirmed that form with another polished performance to win in 28-93. And I think he's very much the greyhound they all have to beat in the Horse and Hound 8-3, 8-4 guys and Doll's Stake. So as I said, that's the highlight so far at the Clonmel track tonight, Shane.
And just in terms of Thurles tomorrow and Clonmel on Sunday, what's taking your fancy?
Yeah, just one to keep an eye on in Thurles on Saturday night. Obviously, once again, it's a 10-race card down for the season. It gets underway at 5:45. And in race number 7, I thought there was a greyhound here called Firmino's Ruby for Roger Brereton in Thurles. This greyhound has won 7 times. Bit of an eye-catcher in the field last time. That was in a much stronger contest. And I think the drop in class could well see Firmino's Ruby back to winning form. In terms of Clonmel on Sunday night, fantastic card down for the season. We're into round 3 of the Roar Kennels on race day, kindly sponsored by Helen O'Dwyer. Once again, it hasn't let us down this year. We've seen some really high class greyhounds in action. I'm sure they'll be the stars of the months and maybe year or two ahead. Just in terms of the opening heat, all eyes will be on the likes of trap number 2 Romeo Top Gun for trainer Graham Hollins. This greyhound has finished second in both his starts to date, but has run fine races in defeat. And trap number 4 Postman Cat for Derby winning connections trainer Owen McKenna and Peter Comerford. This greyhound has won 2 from 2, 28-73 last time, and I think they'll battle it out in that weight race. Well, on to the following heat, Graham Holland has another smart sort here with Newin Homer, who's owned by the Pillar Syndicate. This greyhound clocked sizzling early sections when winning last week in 28-81, and from them trap number 1 he will be expected to make it back to back wins. Well, finally, in Clonmel on Sunday night, race number 9, trap number 3 unbeaten so far in the competition, Emer's Spike, who's owned by JJ Dunn in Thurles, trained in New Inn by Owen McKenna. This greyhound has won at 28-85 and 29-01, another high class sort, and should take plenty of beating. But as I said, if you're a fan of greyhound racing and looking for a good night out, Clonmel is the place to be on Sunday night, all getting underway at 5:45.
And away from the local tracks, Shelburne Park hosts the second round of the Gold Cup on Saturday night, with a strong Tipperary interest is still involved.
Yeah, that's right, Shane. Look, it's a fabulous competition. You know, we've seen some great performances in the opening round on Saturday night, and I would expect, you know, plenty of improvement even on Saturday night. A lot of them would have had a couple of weeks on the sidelines. And I think we'll see some magical performances on Saturday night. Just a couple to keep an eye on. We'll start with race number 8. I think trap number 1 Droopy's Good will go well here after trainer Owen McKenna, 28-64 winner last time, and it's got the best of the draw in trap number 1 and might prove too strong for the Graham Holland trained Night Tornado. While in the following race number 9, all eyes will be on trap number 1 Skywalker Barry, multiple big race winner, trained in Tipperary by Michael O'Donovan, 28-59 winner last week. Goes very well from the rails pitch, and he's another that should make it back-to-back wins. Well, finally, in terms of Shelburne Park on Saturday night, the race of the night for me comes in race number 10 in trap number 5 Good Cody for Tipperary trainer Patrick Guilfoyle, owned by the Kennedy family, who are based near Thurles. Finished second last week but could well improve. Was a winner of the Kingdom Derby below in Tralee at the back end of last year, and as I said, will go very close. Main danger, a greyhound that has come on the scene in recent weeks with some flashy performance, Bocco's Budget, who's trained in Golden by Graham Holland, 28-36 on the clock last week. That was a standout performance. They can battle it out in that one, Shane. But as I said, another exciting weekend of greyhound racing, a lot to look forward to.
Right, thanks, Barry. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks so much, Shane.
And that's about it for this week's edition of Across the Line. And thank to all my guests and Michael Brophy. Talk to you next Friday.